This week's edition of the Love Know-It-Alls is sponsored by TrueCar. Now, we're going to have some tips for you, but TrueCar has some tips for you as well. Like, if you want to get the interior of your car clean, why not take a little bit of olive oil and a coffee filter? You can increase your gas mileage by taking heavy objects out of the car. And they also say that you can improve the range of your keychain remote by holding it up under your chin. I don't understand the science of it. I don't pretend to. But here's what I also know, that TrueCar is going to help you get a better price on a used car also. That's right. TrueCar isn't just for buying a new car. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll get real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy a new or used car. And with TrueCar, you can see what other people paid, so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before buying. You're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with the TrueCar certified dealers. So until TrueCar is going to help you with your online dating, they're the best way to go when you're ready to buy that new or used car. So check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
Did you hear Rob and Steven have a new podcast?
Wait, you mean those guys from Know-It-Alls?
Yep, now they're Love Know-It-Alls.
No way.
Yeah, and they need a new theme song.
I'm pretty sure we could take care of that for them.
Let's do it.
The hottest guys around. They're about to break it down like they scored a million times before.
Oh, wait. I thought I was calling into Loveline?
The Love Know-It-All. The Love Know-It-All.
Yes, that's right. Thank you to Pia and Steve
for
that submission. The more family friendly of the two theme song submissions that we got this week, Stephen Fishback.
That was epic. I had not listened to that before five seconds ago, and I'm giddy. I just giddy. I absolutely loved that.
Good.
Yeah, well, I dance.
It was very fun. And we also have our first ever guest here on the Love Know-It-Alls to hopefully provide some information to us that, as my wife says, that the two love duds cannot provide. Here is the great winner of Survivor Ko Rong and our good friend, Michelle Fitzgerald.
Hi. Hi, guys.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I was just saying to you before the podcast, I'm so excited to have you on as our first guest.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Very excited as well. A little bit nervous because I want to set the expectations very low. I don't know much about dating, but I'm excited to just be here with you guys. You guys are so fun.
Good, Michelle. And nobody else is saying that, so we appreciate that.
Well, I was going to say that, like, this episode, we're going to answer a giant question, which is, do we have more, or do we have enough dating experience between the two of us to fill more than one podcast? But now there's three of us, so, you know, I feel like we can do it.
Yeah, well, I'm very excited. Michelle, what was your reaction when you heard Stephen and I were going to be answering relationship questions for people?
I did not know what to expect, but I listened to your first podcast, and I mean, there was definitely some great insight there. I actually went on Bumble after, and I should get an OkCupid because that seems to be what worked for you. Yeah. But I got a Bumble. I have a date tonight, so I felt inspired. Whoa. Yeah.
Wow. Another Love Know-It-All success story.
Well, not a success quite yet. I'll let you know.
Not yet. Steven, did you happen to read any of Dr. Mike's tweets pertaining to our first episode of the Love Know-It-Alls this week?
I did, and I have a response.
Yes. People can look up the tweet if they want to know what he said. What is your response to what Dr. Mike charged?
So Dr. Mike had a very vague tweet, which was suggesting that certain dating sites discussed on this podcast had might lead to outbreaks of other certain STDs. Now, first of all, I have zero experience with that as a one-time avid user of that site. But the other thing is that, Dr. Mike did, to his credit, kind of allude to this. You know, if STDs are flourishing from a dating website, that means people are
essing. That's a success story. Yes.
They're essing. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think you were going to go there. Okay. All right.
Wow.
Well, so many people are excited about the Love Know-It-Alls. I left my house last night. Nicole and I went to the Andrea and Meg function that was at the Parlor in Hollywood. And I have to say, I am dragging a little bit today. It was that fun.
Yeah.
But. Wow. Steven, people were saying like, oh, in person, they were coming up to me like, I didn't think this was a good idea, but I listened to it and it was good. And and so many people said like, I should come on. I should be a guest on this show. So
wow. So your former reality TV contestants want to be guests on other shows.
Yeah.
I would never
have met. Now,
the first one of those was actually where I met Michelle. It was right before Survivor Koh Rong aired. And I met her at the first inaugural Andrea event.
Yes.
Michelle, do you remember meeting me? Probably not.
Yeah, I remember meeting you. Of course. Right.
I was
starstruck by everyone. So.
Yeah. You guys went and your season didn't even air yet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me, Julia, and Anna all got together. We just had a nice day in the city and then went. And nobody really knew who we were. And I really loved that. But it was just so fun to geek out and be a fan. And it was great. I went the next year as well. And I obviously at that point it had aired. And that was also fun, but I liked being on the fan side of it.
You were
I
think a fly on the wall. Right.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But it's also fun to have a secret in that situation where you're you're not just a fan, but you're like, haha, I'm a fan who, by the way, I won.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Okay, so we have a lot of questions. I was really inundated with questions to the Love Know-It-Alls. We probably got almost 40 questions sent in. Obviously, we're not going to be able to answer all of those on the show. So Steven and I went through the list and we picked out the ones that we thought were the most interesting to talk about. You know, of course, we will save all of these questions that just because you sent in a question this week and it didn't make it onto this episode doesn't mean we won't use it in a future episode. Of course, the email address KIA@robhasawebsite.com, or you can send in a voicemail question to robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. So Michelle, you set up that you actually have a date tonight. Do you have any sort of big picture dating philosophy that what is working for you or not working for you at the start of 2018?
Oh man, I don't know. I think I'm just going to go in with an open mind because I am very, I'm 27 years old and I have had no success yet. So it must be me. And so I'm trying to shift my mindset and just be more open. And actually, if I say that I'm going to go on a date, actually follow through and do it. Cause I always find an excuse to get out of it. So I'm trying to be a little bit more, just optimistic. I think hoping for the best, but not yet.
Now, you've worked as, and may still work as a bartender, right? You must have seen or you must see a lot of people on dates, right? You must be able to see a lot of things that people are doing right, people are doing wrong.
Yeah, definitely. I can always sense a first date because it's so formal and I hate that. So, but it's fun to watch if somebody has chemistry and are hitting it off and you're that might actually go somewhere, but it's fun being on the side of the bar to be okay, I'm giving some bit of experience for these people who are, this could flourish into something great. So it's interesting being on that side.
Do you ever neg a guy who's kind of coming off like a douche, undermine a guy, don't give him don't give him good service or anything if he's seems like a jerk?
No. Kill him with kindness, Rob. Always.
That was Steven.
Steven. Sorry.
We're interchanging.
It's hard. It's hard over the phone, I have to say.
Yes.
Yeah. I need faces.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then let's jump into all of these questions. And we're not going to get any faces, but we're going to get a lot of anonymous questions here today. And Stephen, do you want to set up the first question for the Love Know-It-Alls and Michelle this week?
Yeah. So the first question comes from a 23-year-old woman who wants to rebuild her self-esteem after a breakup. All right. So here we go. To give some context, I'm a 23-year-old female that recently graduated college and started my first full-time job. I started dating my boyfriend when I was 20 and he was 23, and it was my first serious relationship. We lived together for a year and a half. He recently broke up with me, and we have had many big fights and short-term breakups, but this one finally stuck, mostly due to me realizing the relationship wasn't worth fighting for anymore. I was devastated because I was extremely attached to him, but our relationship had a ton of issues. He lied a lot and really didn't treat me well. Because our relationship had become so toxic, I developed some serious self-esteem issues because of constantly getting walked all over and giving all my energy to someone who's not giving anything back. I've accepted the breakup because I know I deserve to be happy and will one day find someone that treats me how I meant to be treated. For now, I'm not focusing on dating. I'm open to meeting new people, but my main priority is focusing on myself and figuring out what makes me happy. So my question is, what are your tips for bettering yourself, self-love, and building up your self-esteem that's been broken by a toxic relationship? Also, how do I not let the bad experiences and trust issues from this relationship impair my future relationships? Because when you're stuck in that headspace, it's very hard to change it. Thanks. By the way, sorry if this is too long or jumbly. This breakup literally happened this weekend, and it's Monday, so my thoughts are all over the place.
Michelle, do you have any advice for our 23-year-old coming out of the bad breakup and now she has some self-esteem issues?
I have definitely been there. I think as a girl, when you are in a relationship, especially a toxic relationship, it's first off, the ups and downs of the whole thing is just so draining. And I think you should be so proud of yourself for even getting yourself out of that situation. So first off, like, look at yourself and be like, good for me. But I think just getting back out there and hanging out with friends and surrounding yourself with like love, that's not that toxic love, whether that's friends or whether that's family, and just figuring out how to fill your life with good. And just realize that you did the right thing by removing any negativity.
Do you think that part of it is also that, you know, not only was I in a situation where somebody was sort of like beating down my self-esteem, but also beating yourself up? Because I think that that's how I would be, where, oh, I can't believe I got into this relationship. What a mistake I made of wasting all this time with somebody. And I'm such an idiot for letting myself get into a situation like this.
Yeah, I think so much of it is like beating yourself up for, you know, just sticking it out with somebody when things weren't right. But, you know, that's like anything. People stay in jobs for too long, even though they're unhappy in it. People stay in friendships too long. You can't look back like at that point. You just have to realize, like, don't do it again. I have had some seriously terrible relationships, like psychological issues probably stemming from fucking childhood, who knows? But like, really, you can't fix other people. You just have to worry about like yourself and getting yourself out of it. And don't beat yourself up. It's in the past. It's done, and you're out. And move forward.
Yeah, I really wanted to open with this one because I have been in a toxic and abusive relationship, and it was really hard for me to get out of it because, like Michelle is saying, it's like being in a bad job. You know, it just starts to become your status quo, and you just, you know, your self-esteem slowly drains, and you never think to yourself about actually leaving it. And it can seem like that's just what a relationship has to be, and that's what's just normal. So, you know, like Michelle was saying, congratulations on getting out, you know, and anyone else listening, you know, if you're in a relationship with someone who is lying to you at all, and someone who's not treating you well, you know, reassess that relationship, because it doesn't have to be that way. There are positive relationships out there, and, you know, it can become so normalizing when you're in it. You know, it's so hard to just like get that perspective that there are better possibilities out there.
You know, I too have gone through an experience with a toxic relationship where I have been in a relationship with someone who is always telling me how stupid I am and how smart they are and how bad my grammar is.
Oh, no.
And how they have, oh, their grammar is so great because they went to Yale. Michelle, what should somebody do in a situation like that?
Yeah. Well, in that situation, I mean, certain situations, you just need to admit, you know, admit the other person's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it's hard. I was in a relationship where I felt belittled, and it's hard to get out of it. And like what I did after I got out of that was try to focus, you know, like Michelle's saying, try to reconnect with my friends and try to meet people who were just nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bring the good things in your life. You know, like I think it's such an opportunity when you do get out of that, you give yourself an opportunity to take all of that, like the bad space in your life and just remove it. I mean, great opportunity to do a full cleanse. You know, you're rid of this guy or girl, you know, in anybody's situation, but like you've already dropped that weight. If there's other bad things in your life, take this opportunity and just like get rid of all of them. Start over, completely start new, get on an exercise regimen, start eating healthier, whatever it is, but shift your mentality into positive, bring positive space in, and people follow. You know, when you're in a good headspace and when you are a good person, other people who have the same, you know, kind of mentality come into your life and your life is already that much better. So, you know, when I was in my bad relationship, I was unpleasant to be around. I don't like the person who I was because I didn't like, you know, my situation. And as soon as I was able to just cut that and cut ties and make my life full of great people and great, you know, be a better person, I've been so much happier. And I think she'll get there. You know, it just takes some time.
She's young. She's 23. Yeah.
So young. So young. You know what? This probably will not be your last heartbreak either. I hope for your sake it is. And I hope your next relationship is a happy one, but heartbreaks happen. That's what happens when you've had love, sadly.
And is it best for a person who's coming out of a toxic relationship like this, should they try to get into a new relationship as quick as possible, like a palate cleanser? Or do you recommend that people should really take their time after getting out of a relationship like this?
Hey, you know what? That's a preference thing. You know, if you want to do a palate cleanser, hop in bed with the guy next door, whatever.
I didn't mean specifically like that. I'm just saying, like, should you be, you know, out there, like, trying to get back on the horse after you get bucked off? Or do you think it's more important to say, okay, get yourself right before you go out and date again?
If it's a nice horse, get on it.
Whoa.
You say, hey, yeah. You brought the horses into this, Rob.
Metaphor.
Okay. Yeah, I think, you know, if you want to go that direction and that's what feels good for you, do it. But just know you can't get yourself worth from somebody else. You know, jumping on another horse is great, but just know that like somebody telling you good things and whatever is not going to be, you can't rely on other people for that. You know, if somebody's coming into your life for good reason, I think I'm all about that. But I do think you should be in a positive headspace for yourself so that the next relationship that you're in, you'll be good to them too.
Sometimes you can just be reminded. It'd be fun to be reminded that like, it doesn't have to be bad and toxic and awful. You know, even if it's just like a little fling or like, you know, the guy next door, as you said, you know, if it's something fun and just, you know, upbeat and positive, like it can, coming out of a toxic relationship that makes you feel bad about yourself, like, you know, some fling that makes you feel great about yourself can really be a nice tonic.
I love that. I love that, actually, Stephen.
No, thank you.
Okay, so let's dive into our next question, which happens to be a voicemail question from one of our listeners in Boston. Here is S in Boston.
Hey, Rob and Stephen. This is S from Boston. I'm trying to remain anonymous, but I've got a question for the love know-it-alls. I've been dating my girlfriend for about 3 years now, and everything is fantastic and wonderful and great, and I have absolutely zero questions about that. But it's about time for me to church it up, if you know what I mean. got to ask the special question to her. So I've got a question for you two about the ring and how I navigate this particular situation with the ring. So my girlfriend was really, really close with her grandmother. And about a year ago, her grandmother actually passed away. And she left behind a beautiful diamond. Now her grandfather, my girlfriend's grandfather, who was married to her, has actually reached out to me and offered this diamond up. He said I could use it to propose and that he would fully support that. And I thought, great, this is perfect. This is wonderful. It's, you know, what a cinch. I'm going to do this. Now, the twist is that separately and privately, and I don't think she knew about this, but my girlfriend has mentioned that she wouldn't really want that ring, that she wants her own ring. I'm not exactly sure why, but she has said this to me, that she's not interested in having that diamond. Now, the question for you guys, of course, my girlfriend is number one, and I will do what she wants, but I don't know if that's what she wants, or if, you know, it's a good idea for me to give her this ring. I'm kind of stuck in a rock and a hard place because it's sort of, it would be difficult to say no to her grandfather, but I also don't want to give her what she doesn't want. But I don't know what she wants. So since you guys are two geniuses, I figured I'd ask you. Thanks a lot in advance. Can't wait to see you both at Know It All's Boston, which I fully believe will happen. Maybe you'll meet her. Maybe she'll have a ring on her finger, and maybe it'll be the one you told me to give her. All right. Take care. Bye.
Okay. S is putting that out into the universe for a Know-It-Alls in Boston. Steven, when you got engaged in 2017, did you go out seeking a family heirloom to give to your fiance?
I would have loved it if there had been a family heirloom. Saved me a lot of money. That, I feel like that's the thing that he's not even like mentioning here, is like just the, you know, the tremendous cost differential between the ring that,
right,
that the grandpa is offering, and that the but women, you know, people have a lot, have strong preferences about this, you know, really mm-hmm. strong opinions about the ring that they're going to get. And I feel like you don't want to flout that, you know, you don't want, like, you know, you want to make sure, you know, when I was thinking about buying Julia a ring, I was not sure if I should involve her in that decision or if I should surprise her with a ring. And, you know, obviously the advantage of surprise is that it's, you know, an exciting moment. You get down, she on one knee, she wasn't expecting it at all. But then there's a high possibility that she is going to be stuck with a ring that she doesn't want for the rest of her life. So for like one fun moment of surprise, you know, your fiance and future wife is going to have this ring on her finger that she's not 100% about. Versus what I did was like, I got her involved in the process. The ring she ended up choosing, you know, there's a little bit less romance about it, right? Because, you know, we're going together, we're looking at rings together. There's no like big surprise moment. But the ring that she got is definitely not what I would have gotten her. And I would have gotten her something that was completely wrong. So I'm strongly in favor of really deferring to the special person in your life about these preferences.
Michelle, what would you want to have done if you were going to be the receiver of that ring?
I definitely agree with Steven that I'm going to be wearing that ring every single day. And so I want it to be a style of something that I prefer. And I do think that there are certain rings that are definitely not my taste. So, you know, you probably just want to go with what she wants. Although I do like the concept of the heirloom, but it seems that she made it pretty clear that that's not what she wants. And, I think you gotta ask her what she does want and do that. Make that into a necklace, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But.
So I had a actually very similar situation to this before I got engaged to Nicole, where that there was a ring that I think belonged to Nicole's grandmother. And Nicole's mom started saying to me, "Hey, I've got this ring. It was my mother's ring, and Nicole has always talked about it, how she wants that ring, And so I want you to know I want to give it to you so that you can, you know, do a new fitting, but here, take the stone, you'll save money. And this is what she wants. And so she tried, like, I was living in California at this time, and she was trying to, like, pass the ring to me somehow, like, through Nicole, who was coming back and forth to visit me. And she, like, put the ring inside, like, a stuffed animal, and then told Nicole that the stuffed animal was a present for me. And Nicole was like, why is my mom giving you an animal? Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Things into prison.
Yeah. Right. So it was like contraband coming across. Yeah. And so I looked at it and I said to her, like, I just was honest with Nicole. And I was like, Nicole, I have to talk to you about something. Your mom is saying that you want this ring and it's really important to you. And I just want to ask you about it before I do anything. And this was like well before we were, this is like 5 years before we even got engaged, where we were dating for a long time. And, you know, but I asked Nicole about this. She's like, I don't want that. she's like, no, I want a new ring. I want a new, like, I don't want that. She said, that's too small. I don't want that. And so I was like, okay, well, this is such a relief because I'm so glad that I didn't go back and forth with this and then ultimately get you something that you don't want. And so,
yeah
I think that who cares if the grandparents are mad at you? Well, you know, if this is what she doesn't want, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's like, she didn't want it. I asked her, she said she didn't want it.
Well, yeah. What is interesting to me about this question was the guy is saying that he's not sure she doesn't want it, even though she's saying she doesn't want it. I feel like if someone is telling you they don't want something, they, you know.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think people want a new thing. That, and I think maybe when you're a kid, you might be a little more interested in the idea of like, oh, grandma, you know, can I have that ring one day? Well, I'll wear that when I get married. But think when you turn into a grown up, maybe you want your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the grandparents hang on to that.
And I love Michelle's idea of saying this is an opportunity to, you know, there are other special ways to incorporate that diamond. It could be a necklace. You know, there's ways that it could be a meaningful remembrance of your grandmother without it necessarily being your engagement ring.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next question. Nathan wants to know how to deal with heartbreak. Hey, Robin, Steven, I really enjoy the show. I recently got dumped by my girlfriend over text. I know I'm going to be okay as I've dealt with much worse heartbreak in the past, but I was curious how you guys cope with heartbreak and loss. Would you suggest I start dating again immediately or should I wait a while? Do you have any suggestions on how I could get over this faster? Thanks, guys.
This is somewhat similar to what we were talking about in the first question with the woman coming out of the abusive relationship, but maybe we can touch on a little bit more about the specific tactics that a person should use to get out of a funk from either the end of a relationship or some other setback that a person might have in life. Michelle, you said that maybe going to the gym is something that a person could do.
Yeah, try it all. Pick up a hobby, you know, start painting. Going to the gym is great because you'll feel better and you'll look better. And I think when you look good, you present your best self like to the world. But I don't know. I think that, well, first off, can I just touch on the fact that she broke up with him via text?
Mm-hmm. That's bad.
He broke up with her via text. Can we say that, can I just make a statement like how nobody should ever do that? Like if you're thinking about, if you're listening to this and you're thinking about breaking up with someone, like have the decency to call or face to face, like don't do it over text. That's just not respectable in my opinion, but.
Is call or face to face better?
I haven't been in that situation, but I think face to face. You know, if I was ever not feeling a certain way about somebody, I would just be pretty upfront and transparent. And I would like it to be done face to face, but that's hard. So I can understand a phone call. It's a little bit easier, but text is just so tough.
What about you, Steven?
I think a phone call, you know, I mean, face to face, it's like everyone gets dressed. Like you invite this person you're dating out. You're like, let's go to dinner. Let's go to coffee. Like they get together, they leave their house, they drive. And then you're like, oh, by the way, I'm breaking up with you. Then they're like, you know, they've put all this effort into getting ready. They're in a public situation. They're trying not to cry. Hopefully they're trying not to cry. Maybe in my case they'd be celebrating.
Because the phone call, you just hang up and then it's over. Whereas right. the face to face, sometimes like you're in a restaurant and then yeah. it's like, okay. Boy, they're really taking a long time with the check now. This is really awkward that we're broken up, but we're still in the midst of like, we're still talking. So,
and good. Like who pays, you know,
I think the breaker up definitely pays,
breaker
right?
upper has to pay. I think
I would think so. I would think so. And like a complimentary drink as well. Definitely. Yeah, I'm so sorry to break up with you, but here's a cocktail.
Yeah. I do think, just to touch on what Michelle is saying, that I believe really big in momentum. I think after any sort of loss, not just a romantic one, that I remember, you know, in the months after my dad died a few years ago, where it's just like it's just like you don't know what to do. It's very hard to like get started with anything. I've lost jobs before. But I think that any new beginning or passion, I think, is a really great start to getting back up and running with whatever you're trying to do. It doesn't matter what it ultimately is. I have found that I listen to a lot of different self-help audiobooks at times. Like there's so many different good ones that are out there, and it's something that's easy to do. Where they're just like, even just to get the ball rolling, and then you can take it mm-hmm. from there once you feel like that you have the motivation to be able to go out there and do something. But when I'm at my, you know, lowest points, I find that that's the thing that is usually really good for kickstarting me into something else.
So I actually mm-hmm. have the opposite tactic and suggestion, which is, you know, I feel like once you've been broken up with someone, you know, you're just like in so much emotional pain, especially if you've been in love and, you know, you really cared about them at all. And really the only thing that is going to heal that is just getting through time. And I've heard the number 3 weeks thrown out there. I had a psychologist once who told me, you know, 3 weeks after you're broken up with, you're going to start to like feel like, okay, this is manageable, you know, by a really, and we're talking like, you know, by a significant relationship. And I've roughly found 3 weeks to be a somewhat reliable benchmark.
Well, what do you do? Stay in bed for 3 weeks?
No. So what I do is I've done in the past is I've played video games. Cause like, it's such a way to distract your brain, mm-hmm. while you're just trying to like get time to pass, and like any amount of consciousness is awful. So I've played video games, and often I found that I get so disgusted with myself for just staying inside and playing video
you
games
have to
for
hit
weeks
rock
at a time.
Is what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah, that like my own like loathing of myself surpasses my the pain from the relationship, and that kind of like motivates like me to burst out of my cocoon.
That's hilarious.
So no video or all video games, no shower, just. Yeah.
You can shower.
Okay.
Just get to a point where you hate yourself.
Don't leave the house, and then eventually you'll come out of your shell.
Yeah.
I agree, though. You know, sometimes it is good to do like mind-numbing things, like read a book or whatever, even if it's like a sci-fi, something that is a page-turner that you're totally sucked into. When you're reading, you can't be thinking about something else. So I like the idea of like, you know, doing that at first, maybe book a flight and plan a vacation, and it's giving you something to look forward to. But just like having, I do agree that maybe a little bit of time just spent self, like just, I don't even know. Sorry. I went on a tangent.
No, that's great. That was totally on point.
Okay. All right. I've got another question here, and this one is a little complicated. So see if you can follow all of this. Okay. So this is from a man who writes in to say, I've been dating my boyfriend for a little over a year. I am also a man, to clarify. It's pretty serious, but we've been through some really hard situations in our relationship and outside it, and we've only come out stronger through all of it. I've always been a loner, but I think that this could be something that lasts for a very long time. It's great, and neither of us have any doubts about each other, which feels rare and lovely. But recently, two close friends of mine, a lesbian couple, has asked me to be their sperm donor. It was an insane honor. You want 50% of my DNA in your family forever? Are you sure? And the more I thought about it, the more I wanted to do it. My boyfriend, on the other hand, isn't so happy about it. He wants us to start a family together and sees this as the start of a family that won't include him. The lesbian couple has said from the get-go that all discussions will involve the four of us, not just the three of us minus him, and have also insisted that I won't be the dad, just the donor dad, closer to an uncle or a very, very close friend, someone special, but not anyone who can make any actual decisions about the kid's life. So it would be family in a way, but not real family, if that makes any sense. They'd be the parents. I would not. I want to do it. My boyfriend doesn't. He sees it as more of a major part of my life in the future that he'd be forever left out of. I disagree because we both have the same legal and emotional connection with the kid as he or she grew up. As far as I'm concerned, who cares about its biological origins? Hell, the kid may even like him more than me. He's much less grouchy than I am, but the idea still nags at him that, yeah, we'd help make the new family, but he'd always be replaceable in that family, and I would not. So how should I handle this? Am I being selfish? Is he being selfish? Are we both being selfish? Is there any way to have both this kid and my relationship, or do you think one would ruin the other? Okay. This is a very complicated and tricky question, Michelle.
Yikes. I mean, I do think it is an honor and a gift. I can understand the perspective of, you know, the other person feeling a little bit like left out, especially if they want to start their own family with said man. But I think it's an honor if you can do that for somebody who you look at that couple and you're like, you really deserve children, and you've come to me to help with this. Like, I think that's a very selfless thing. But when you're in a relationship, you do have to think about your partner. And if it really is making your partner unhappy, then maybe don't do it. I don't know. What's your guys' take? Maybe I'll get some insight when I hear your perspective.
Steven, I've got a theory. I've got an idea. Can we go to the negotiating table with this? Okay. So if our listener, he wants to be the father of this baby for the lesbian couple, would it be in bounds to ask that for our listener and his boyfriend, when they start a family, that one of the lesbians should be the surrogate?
Then
it's like one big, this is like a sitcom.
Yeah, seriously. I would have tuned in.
But I think it sounds like the couple does not want that sitcom relationship, right? That the lesbian couple and you know, it sounds like the listener and his boyfriend also don't want that.
And the boyfriend can be the sperm donor on the next baby.
Yeah.
It seems like the lesbian couple wants a sense of distance, right? He's not going to be paternal, right? He's going to be more of an uncle.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that's really that they all want that. The kind of
this is outside of the box thinking, Steven.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, in an ideal world, would it be great to be able to convince your boyfriend, you know, that this is something that really means a lot to you? And is, you know, you're honored by, you want to be able to do this, you know, you want to include him in it. Like, that would be great. And, you know, I would suggest some sort, and it sounds like you've had those conversations. I kind of agree with Michelle, where ultimately, if your boyfriend is just opposed to it and he's going to draw that line and you're committed to a long-term relationship with this person, you should not be entering into a familial relationship with somebody else without that person being on board.
Yeah, I agree. I think you can't do it. I think that if the person who you are with is telling you not to do it, and you know, it's sort of like a tricky argument where you're saying it's not that big a deal. Like, why do you care about it? But I also really, really want to do it. So I think it's hard. Like, it's so important to me, but it's not important. It's a big deal, but it's not a big deal. So I think it's really tricky to do. And, you know, if the boyfriend feels like this is part of you replacing me, and I think that maybe, you know, that energy might just need to be focused into your own planning of a family. I then know that maybe you're not ready for that yet, but if he's not on board, it's just going to be the type of thing, because I know there's lots of things in my relationship when you have these nagging issues that just don't ever go away. It's like an instant fight. As soon as they get, they come up just like a raw nerve. You don't want to have those things.
Is that the grammar thing again? Is this the me, I thing? Is that what you're referring to?
A trigger for Steven.
Yeah. Maybe they do the quid pro quo. Maybe they go to the Rob Cesternino outside the box, one big happy family quid pro quo.
Yeah. And they'll be like, we don't want to have your baby.
Yeah.
I wish the boyfriend would come around, because I do think that it's such a great opportunity to be part of something like that. In an ideal world, the boyfriend would come around. But I think, you know, you're going to watch one of the women get bigger and then the baby. And it's a constant reminder every time that you see them, you know, every time your boyfriend sees them, it's a constant reminder that, you know, he kind of went against what he wanted. And I think it will just be a thorn in the side, like for the rest of your relationship. So I mean, either way, it sounds like they're close enough that he's going to be like an uncle anyways, you know, and I think he could still be part of that child's life without being the father.
Right.
That's a great point. That's a really great point.
Could they potentially talk to the lesbian couple and get them to agree that the next baby, the boyfriend, can be the sperm donor?
Yeah.
Maybe they don't like him, though.
Maybe he's the least better looking.
That's a tough one.
He's really good looking, but he's not smart. Who knows? Who knows? Okay, but I think it's tricky. I think that the two guys need to get on the same page before anybody can go forward with this. All right, so let's go to our next question. And this is from a listener that he wants to be. He says we can use his name. His name is Zach. And he says, hey, Stephen and Rob, my girlfriend always says that when she comes over on Wednesday night, she won't talk much during Survivor. However, she can't help but ask questions and then yell at the screen. And then I can't hear what's going on. Then she gets mad because she thinks I like Survivor more than her. My question, is it reasonable to want just 1 hour a week to watch my favorite show? Does it mean I like Survivor more than her just because I want to watch it in peace? My ideal situation is to watch it with her and then discuss it during the commercials, but that never works out. You can say who I am because I'm trying to get on the show. Hashtag get Zach on Survivor. This is from Zach M. Now, does that mean that then is she allowed to talk during Know It All, Steven? important
during your parts, maybe.
Yeah, Michelle, this is not great, right?
I don't know. I always talk and yell during the whole thing.
I do too. So. Nicole, this would be her. She's like, I hate watching things with you because you talk the whole time.
I know, but I don't even realize I'm doing it. Honestly, I'm the worst to watch things with, so I get it. But, you know, there's DVR for a reason. He can go back and watch it, you know. I don't know. That's a bit intense.
Right.
I mean, this was a big contentious issue when I was part of the wine and cheese community in New York, where some of the viewers, Charlie Herschel, for example, really didn't like it when other viewers were yelling because he wanted to actually hear the episode. I was Team
Charlie. I can't imagine that crew, anybody that would just be like shouting at the television while a show is on. It's so weird.
Yeah. So Charlie and I really wanted to be able to hear what was being said, but others were shouting at the screen, telling the contestants what they should be doing. I'm a fan of people having their own activities within a relationship. I think that leads to a more healthy relationship. If you have both parties have certain things that are their thing and that they can do alone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now the girlfriend may not even like Survivor. She might just be sort of faking this enthusiasm because she knows how much he likes it. And maybe she wants to seem like she's into his interests. She might hate Survivor.
Mm-hmm. You know what the passive aggressive way to handle this would be? It would be to get the DVR, pause it every time she yells or asks a question, answer her, and rewind to the part that, and it would get so intolerable for the girlfriend to watch with you, and so boring that she would eventually just naturally never want to see it again.
I feel really strongly about this. This is a pretty petty thing to complain about. I apologize, Zach, but you know that you are going to create problems in your relationship when then this is a pretty easy avoidable thing. Put the closed captioning on. You can follow along. That it's not that big a deal if, you know, you don't hear it. Believe there's nothing that gets said that is that important on Survivor. You could watch Survivor for the most part with the sound off half the time and follow along what's going on.
If Zach had missed, you know, Michelle saying, bro, I know, how many memes would he have been left out on for the rest?
I feel like it says it on the bottom of the screen, or maybe that's just in the GIF.
Yeah, I don't think that would be earth shattering to miss that one. But I agree. Just put the captions on and, you know, or don't invite her over on Wednesdays.
Because you got to feel like that if she's yelling during the show, it's probably during the challenges. I mean, I can't imagine that there's that much yelling that goes on during camp life, except maybe like if somebody finds the hidden immunity idol, when people are just like having conversations, you know, how much yelling is going on.
Bro, I know.
Oh, my God. It's going to haunt me. It's going to haunt me.
But that's what all last season was people finding the hidden immunity aisles. So that would have been a lot of yelling. You know, I think that, you know, Rob, I think that he should have his own Survivor time. You know, that should be his private personal time.
Yeah.
I don't think he should do the closed captioning thing. I think he should, you know, be like, this is my thing. And I want to be able to enjoy it the way I enjoy it.
You're going to break these guys up, Steven.
No, come on. If they break up over Survivor.
Nobody's ever broken up over Survivor before.
I have.
Yeah.
You have.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It happens.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think Survivor causes a lot of breakups, Steven.
Definitely.
Although most of them are from people that went on the show.
Yeah, it's true. You come out the other side a different person, you know? Yeah,
it's hard. It's a lot. Okay. Steven, all right, what about our next question?
A better person or a worse person?
Honestly, depends on who you're asking.
Depends if you win, I think.
I don't know. I think, you know, I do think some of the Survivor community comes out and it changes you, definitely. Mm-hmm. And some people are a bit worse after, but I like to think that it's better for the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Our next question comes from a listener who says she's a woman wondering about a red flag. I'm a 26-year-old woman and I've been dating a new man. We've seen each other twice and he's been perfectly sweet and given me no reason to be concerned. Today, he told me that after his football team lost, he was very upset and punched his dresser until one of the drawers broke. Now, this does raise eyebrows on my end, but I'm not sure how much of a red flag this may be. I'd appreciate any insight you can send my way. XOXO. Michelle, what do you think?
Wow.
How much of is the drawer breaker? Is that a red flag?
Is that a deal breaker?
Is a drawer breaker a deal breaker? Dang, that's good.
The drawer breaker might be the deal breaker for me. Get out while it's early, you know. But no, I dated this guy once who was really, really, really into football. And if his team lost, I mean, he would have to go home, leave the bar, be alone, stew in it all day. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is so dramatic. But, you know, people get super into it. It's hard to understand, like, from my perspective, just because I don't really care about sports. I hate to say that, but it, you know, I really don't have any buy-in. I think they're fun, but, you know, so it's hard to understand why somebody would get so worked up over something like that when you're not really invested. But I think the alarming thing is just how hard he must have gone in to physically break the drawer.
Yeah. Now, again, we don't know the circumstances because I know that Steven is not a big sports fan. I am. And I have been through some really difficult times in my sports watching life as a Mets fan and a Jets fan. I don't know who his team was or what the circumstances were. Where did they miss the playoffs in the last couple of weeks, or what? I don't think that we can take this isolated incident and say that this is a bad guy or a potentially abusive person just because that he ended up having some issues with expressing his frustration. In 2007, when the Mets were 7.5 games up with like 14 or 15 to play, and they had one of the biggest collapses in baseball history, I remember a Friday night Mets game against the Marlins, and they were blowing it, and it really was becoming clear that they were going to completely blow the whole thing. And I remember just like pounding my fist on a desk. I was so mad. I thought I almost like broke my hand afterwards. And I don't think that I'm somebody that really has rage issues, but the sports that can really bring out the worst in people. So I think that until this woman sees this manifest in anything regarding their relationship or in other aspects of their life, I think that this, don't throw the relationship away over this one issue, which might have been an isolated moment of frustration.
Yeah, I've punched a wall, and you know, when I was in my 20s and I got super frustrated by something, you know, it wasn't sports related. Maybe it was like a shocking upset at the opera.
Did they have to survive second chances?
No, but when I was younger, I was in my 20s, I like punched a wall, and you know, like again, like similar, like you, Rob, I'm not somebody who would ever bring that into a relationship, but granted, we didn't break anything, you know, you didn't break your table like this guy broke his drawer, but this guy shouldn't be penalized just because he's stronger than us.
Stronger than a drawer?
Yeah, no, you know, like, we're not able to, you know, I can't break a wall. This guy can break a drawer. You know, it's impressive.
It might have been like in a flimsy sort of like, IKEA thing. You know, not all drawers are like made of oak.
You don't have to minimize this guy's accomplishment just because, kind of jealousy or whatever.
Yeah. And I'm also saying that we don't know what the football team was and what the losses that they suffered was. So that might be, if we knew the exact football game that we're talking about, then we could say, oh, yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah. I think it's a like red flag, but I don't think it's a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It might have come after a yellow flag was thrown. It might have gotten so mad that caused the red flag. Caution.
Sports jokes.
Yeah. 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 I'm with you, Michelle. I didn't get that at all.
Okay. All right. So let's go to our next question about another listener. This is a woman who is wondering whether it might be time to move on, that she had her heart broken 6 months ago. Her boyfriend and her were in a semi-long distance relationship about 2 hours apart and were wondering about the idea of moving in together. One day, he had an anxiety attack about the whole thing and decided to break up with her. Since then, he's told her that he misses her and he has a lot of mixed feelings about the decision and he doesn't know what he wants, but he regrets that he jumped into breaking up with her without discussing how he was feeling and things like that. It almost feels like we are in relationship purgatory and it sucks. At what point do I give up on holding on to hope that we can work through things and move on? The breakup hurt a lot, so part of me knows that things would never be the same, but there's still part of me that wants to see if we can work through this. I'm only 22 years old, so I know I have plenty of time to find my person, but how do I just give up on a person I thought was the one? I appreciate any thoughts or opinions on what you think I should do. Thanks in advance. Okay, so she's dating the guy. The guy has some sort of anxiety attack about the status of the relationship, calls it off, but they're still talking about this, Michelle. Should she move on?
Move on. Yeah, like if somebody doesn't know that they want you, if they're uncertain about wanting you in their life, then they don't deserve to have you in their life. Like, relationships are scary, definitely, but, the fear of commitment, your love should overcome the fear of commitment, and I think that he's just not mature enough to be where your head's at. Now, do I think that at 22, you really have to move in and it has to be that level? Like, could you have toned back the relationship a little bit and just like dated casually a bit longer? Maybe, but that now this kind of uncertainty of is he, every time that we get close again, is he going to pull away? It's just going to rip you guys further apart, you know? So I don't know. I say move on. You deserve better than that, I think.
I want to slightly complicate. I don't necessarily disagree, but I will say that I have known a lot of people in relationships where just as the relationship is approaching a level of seriousness, you know, it's at that, you know, 6 month or a year point, the couple's thinking about moving in or whatever that symbol of the next step of the relationship is, one or the other or both absolutely freak out and pulls back. And I don't, and I've seen it happen many times where that pullback happens. There's a freak out. They get back together, they recommit, and it's magic. And I don't think it's that unnatural for that pullback to happen just as soon as a major commitment.
But this was 6 months ago.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So I'm just saying, like, I don't think necessarily the pullback means it's a deal breaker, but I do agree that, you know, given how long ago it was and that, you know, you guys didn't immediately come back together, given how young you are, I'm inclined to agree with Michelle and just say, you know, move on. And, you know, if it's destined to be, if this guy is the one, he'll pop up in your life again.
Right. I mean, this guy is on the fence. I don't know. Should we move in together? But it's like basically he's saying like, well, should I have you move in with me? But what if I could do better? You're 22 and you're wasting your time with this guy. Let's move on. And maybe like she said that he had an anxiety attack about, are we being insensitive to, again, I don't know if this is a medically diagnosed anxiety attack, and I want to be sensitive to that if that's the case, mm-hmm. where there's mm-hmm. some sort of a medical issue here, or I'm not sure if we're just, you know, sort of like more of like a euphemism anxiety attack, Stephen.
Well, yeah, of course. But it does sound like with a 6 month, you know, period of contemplation that, you know, if it was a temporary medical issue, that if there was more of a solid foundation to the relationship, they probably would have found a way to get back together by now.
Yeah. Seems uh-huh. like there's too much hesitation here for this to be too serious. She's only 22. I think that uh-huh. She can go ahead and safely move on.
But this is like a tricky issue that I think a lot of yeah. people face is like, at what point, I'm, you know, any relationship, especially when you're young, is faced with these, you know, often these ups and downs, these, I want to be with you forever. Oh, never mind. Like, let's break up. Like, when do you know, like, what is the right sign? What's the point at which you say that's enough? I mean, Michelle, what do you think?
Yeah, it's tricky. I think that you have to just look at, compile all of your feelings and be like, does this feel good to me anymore? Or is it painful? Is it a painful thought? And if it's bringing you distress, you know, over half of the time, then maybe it's not the right thing to be in. You just really have to self-assess. And like, of course, you care about the other person and you want, you know, you just want that to work. But love can be so blinding that you're willing to like put up with things that make you feel bad because you the hope that in the end, you know, it could be this ultimate love story. But yeah. when you're just feeling like shitty and this person is hurting you, then you just gotta, you know, you gotta really do what's right for you and pull out, even if it hurts. Down the line, it's gonna be better for you, I think, than just sitting in this like terrible purgatory. I think you just have to know when to call it quits, and that's just based on how you feel.
To me, I think that the definition of a relationship is almost like, this is uncomfortable. I don't want to do this, but I am going to do it anyway because it means that I'm going to, this is what it takes to stay with you. I think mm-hmm. that, if, you know, like, oh, yeah, he doesn't want to live with her or whatever his reasons are. But if he loves her enough that you do it anyway, and it doesn't mm-hmm. seem like that he's willing to make that sacrifice.
I was just thinking, like, could he, you know, still have feelings for her and not want her to move on? Like, you know, I've dated people in the past that have kept me kind of on a string because they, not that they want me, but they don't want me to like be with anyone else and they don't want me to be, you know, out doing whatever. And, you know, just
too bad.
Kind of
that's
keeping
not a
me,
thing. They don't get to
I
keep
know.
You on retainer.
Exactly. But people do that when they, you know, when they care about somebody and then they break up, and some people like string somebody along, and you know, 6 months is a long time to be kind of stringing someone along. You need to make your mind up.
I totally agree. But yeah, that's a really great point, that it does sound like, you know, all of these phone calls with him saying how much he misses her is kind of him keeping her on the hook a little bit. But what about the fact that it has been 6 months and she's not over it? You know, could that indicate that there's something there still? And if so, like, what is the way to give this guy some kind of ultimatum?
But I don't think the fact that he's saying that, or she's saying that she like is still into him. I think when somebody is giving and taking, playing with your emotions, yeah, like that is what's making you cling on. It's like an addiction. Like he gives you a little bit and you're like wanting more. And that feeling of like chasing somebody can keep you interested more than like, you know, what that actual relationship is like. And, you know, you want the person to come around and be like, yes, I've decided that I do want to be with you. But like, you're hoping for that, I think. But it's just such a long, that's just such a long time to do it.
So we're saying cold turkey. That's the prescription from the love know-it-alls.
Yeah, I think just move on and just, you know, go out there, try to see other people. And then if you guys both decide, what are we doing? This is such a mistake. We need to be back with each other. Then, you know, revisit that. But I think at this point in time, something has to change.
Mm-hmm.
Steven, what about our next question?
Next question comes from Lauren and her husband, who are struggling with a new baby. My husband and I had a baby boy 4 months ago. Michelle, I think this is really going to be a question that you and I are going to be great at. We were super solid and one of the happiest couples I knew before the baby came. But I feel like since it's been really hard on our relationship, it could be the lack of sleep, but we fight more and it feels like we don't talk. He spends all day talking to people at work. And when he gets home, it feels like pulling teeth to get him to have a convo with me. But I've been with a baby all day and really want to chat. Just wondering if you went through this, Rob, when you had kids, and if you have any tips on how to stay connected with your partner. Thanks so much. So, Rob, what do you think here? This is obviously directed at you.
Yeah, I think this couple is headed towards a divorce. It's very sad to say with the new baby. No, this is a really easy question. That this, when you have a newborn baby and the first couple of months are, you know, sometimes you get one of the good ones, but other times you get these ones. And then Dominic was pretty easy and Anthony was not. And that was one of the hardest times in the relationship for Nicole and I. There really is no great answer. And Nicole loves to sleep. Anybody that knows Nicole knows she wants like 12 hours of sleep in a time. Like, I need less sleep, but I do need some sleep. And you get into like, well, you slept 3 hours. Well, and I only slept 2 hours. And then no, I got up with him 2 times and you got up with him 1 time. And it's a really terrible spot to be in the relationship. It will get easier. It will get better. Look into potentially sleep training. That was something that we ended up doing with Anthony, and it really took a lot of the stress off. I think that when you get to a time when you can leave the baby with another person, you need to make some plans to go out together and then have some alone time. I would have it even, you know, I wasn't leaving the house, but you know, Nicole would be like, oh, you get to go upstairs and do your podcast. And I'm down here with these crying babies. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? Not go to work? And so it is a very rough patch, but it will pass and it will get better. So don't, you don't have any rash thoughts about things. You're both just extremely tired and you need to just have patience and try to, you know, keep those communication lines open.
Great advice.
But this is, you know, pretty, this is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Don't stress too much about this. Okay. Steven, let's go to another question. And this is about a woman who is dealing with a man who has some self-confidence issues. This is from a woman who is 30 years old, and she's currently on a break for about 6 months with Z. They were together for nearly 10 years, and they lived together for roughly the last year and a half of that time. Z has a lot of confidence issues and depression that contributed to the situation. He said that he's not good enough to be with anybody and that it isn't fair to me to be stuck with him forever. A lot of his confidence issues were wrapped up in his success slash failures at work, and he's having a hard time finding a permanent job right now. We both consider ourselves to be single at the moment, but have realized that we still love each other. We communicate periodically, but our break doesn't have an end in sight. I asked Z what he wants to accomplish in order for us to consider getting back together, and he says he doesn't know. I don't feel ready to date other people yet, and if it comes to that, I am currently a very busy grad student, and I want that to be my focus until I'm done. However, I am 30, so I don't want to waste time with a relationship that isn't going to go anywhere. If there's a chance that there's going to be someone else out there for me, I'm not convinced that there is. On the other hand, if we get back together, I feel like we could be a happy couple again if we work at it and Z works to regain my trust. Is our relationship worth salvaging and fighting for, or is it time for me to let him go? I would love any advice that you have. This is Kay in Dallas. P.S. Is this too long, Stephen?
Did I have an issue with long ones? I don't know. What do you think, Michelle?
Sometimes, yeah, you can't be your best self if other things are falling apart and you're just like, I am not good for you right now because I'm not, you know, 10 years is a really long time. And it sounds like this person's going through a rough patch. And I think that if you do love somebody and you see that they're going through something challenging, the hope is that they want to conquer that with you and, you know, have you there to pick them up. But it sounds like he just needs some time to sort out himself. 10 years is a huge commitment. I think spending a little bit of time working on grad school and letting him process everything that's happening in his life. I wouldn't say that I would give up on it quite yet. I would probably wait it out and be a support system for him if he needed me, and just hope that we could get through to the other side of it.
Yeah, I feel like that this couple, I'm a little more bullish about them getting back together, but that Z needs to get his head on straight. I'm not sure necessarily what the issues are, but he's feeling like that he's having like a lack of confidence at work. But that seems like, pretty, you know, out there reason to end up breaking up the relationship. It almost feels like to me that that might be an excuse, Stephen.
I don't know. I mean, ending a 10-year relationship because of like a, you know, for and they've been broken up for 6 months because of something like a lack of confidence. You know, as Michelle is saying, I also think that this is the kind of thing you're going to hopefully want to work through with your partner by your side. This listener, Kay, has been in this relationship with Z for basically all of her adult life. So it's not like she has a ton of other experience, at least, you know, as an adult, to sort of compare this relationship to. She wants to focus on graduate school. I kind of think she should give him more room. I hate to ever advocate, you know, people separating if there's a chance for them to stay together. But, you know, I the fact that you know, he's been separated with you for 6 months after such a long period of time together. I mean, how do you not know after 10 years if you want to be with someone forever?
Well, he's saying that it's not you, it's me. That he's saying that it's not fair to you to be with me because, you know, I'm not doing good at work. And maybe this is, you know, 100% his issue, where it sounds like she's going to graduate school. Seems like she has a lot going on. And if he's struggling with his career and he can't just get over it, I don't know how that changes ultimately. So I don't know. But if it is just an issue of a self-confidence, I feel like that the self-confidence can be rebuilt. But if he has an issue where if she's going to be earning a lot more money than he is and he can just never get his head around that, then that's a problem that's going to manifest itself in a lot of different places in this relationship.
True.
Also, I think everyone has, you know, goes through ups and downs of self-confidence. And the question is, you know, how they treat others and how they treat themselves when through those oscillations. And if, you know, Z's attitude or strategy is to cut and run when he's feeling bad about himself instead of, you know, trying to sort of muscle through it or look to Kay for support, that to me is a warning sign. And I would feel like I would want either Z to get therapy or to get therapy with Z. I mean, if you're really committed to this relationship, I think that, you know, there needs to be some kind of like outside, maybe, and I'm a big proponent of therapy, you know, but I really feel like that could maybe help work through whatever that self-confidence issue is.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if it's therapy that what he needs, but it sounds like that if he's unhappy about his, you know, career situation, then he needs to get on the ball and be working at something. If it's not working at the relationship, he needs to be working at improving whatever is holding him back in terms of, you know, career success or failures. And it doesn't sound like, I mean, we don't have that information. And she's asking him, what do you need to get back together? He's like, I don't know. He needs to communicate a little bit more of what is going to potentially change if they're going to get back together. Otherwise, then she should move on.
Yeah, and I think saying time and space would be a good thing for them. Like, I think you said that earlier. Like, I think it would be good for him. It's good for her. And if that time and space and separation ends up being long term, then, you know, then you can move on knowing that you know, that this was a decision that he made. And I think that it's good for her to take this time for herself too, to also reevaluate. She is 30, you know, 10 years in a relationship. Is this the person that you want in your future? And like, I think it would be good to just kind of assess yourself as well and check in and make sure that it is something that you want to fight for if you've been doing it for so long.
I think the half measure is so difficult. You know, it sounds like, similarly to the previous relationship, that this is a couple that's still really connected. And, you know, Kay says they just communicate periodically. Nevertheless, it does feel like she's still connected to him. And, you know, like similar to what you were saying, you know, in that other example, Michelle, I do feel like it's hard to really fully assess what you want when you're still half in a relationship that you're not sure where it's in. You're not sure where it's going. I sort of think that she should say to Z, either we're going to get back together or we're going to be apart. And at least in her own head, she can think we're together or we're apart. And maybe something in the future will bring them back together. But I right. just feel like, how do you ever
get out of limbo?
Yeah, get out of limbo.
Yeah, limbo's the worst because you don't know what's going on. Either, you know, you got to be in the Steven rock bottom playing video games phase before things can improve, or you need to know what's going on. So at this point, you know, you have nothing to lose after this 6-month break. So I think we want to really force the issue here and then just have some closure one way or the other. Steven, let's do our one last question, and then I have some follow-ups from last week's show.
Okay, last question here. My boyfriend and I are in a polyamorous relationship for almost 2 years. A year ago, I started working as a producer in a small art university in Jerusalem, the same school I graduated from 6 years ago.
I just want to add that the writer of this email is also a man.
There's a student there that I'm really attracted to, and I feel like we have sexual tension. He even texted me at midnight a couple of months ago, but it was on the summer vacation and I was abroad, so it kind of stayed there. And since then, we didn't really talk about it. I'm trying to create the situation again, but it's hard because we only see each other in school. Side note, the school director is married to a former student of his, so even though this kind of stuff doesn't happen on a regular basis, it's not really frowned upon. The bottom line is this. I want to hook up with him, the student, and I don't even mind that people will know that I slept with him, but I don't want to be known as the guy from the office who tries to sleep with a student if it doesn't work. What do you think I should do? Sincerely, your friend from Israel.
Oh God.
Okay.
I had to Google polyamorous, so that's embarrassing. I hate myself. I really do.
Yes. But, I didn't have to Google it because I watched Utopia, and I can never forget polyamorous Dedeker, which was one of the people in Utopia.
Wow.
Okay. So it's multiple partners, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool. Basically an open relationship in this context, right?
Yeah.
So that's not the issue. Doesn't he, that he doesn't mention his partner at all in terms of what he would think. I guess that he has the green light for whatever he wants to
right.
do.
Right.
We're more talking about whether he wants to, you know, hook up with this student.
Mm-hmm.
And what he should do if he does.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that definitely not. I think that now again, that nobody ever has ever thought of me having the mind to follow what's going on in any sort of polyamorous relationship. But that being said, I just feel like, okay, there's this one guy and okay, you know, I'm kind of into him and he might reciprocate, but it's just like, what's the real upside here? I mean, that, that, and yes, okay, maybe the person who's the school director is married to a former student, but who knows, you know, what year that was. I just feel like that in 2018, that this is not such a hot idea for a teacher to get together with a student, because you never think it's going to end badly. Nobody ever got into anything. It's like, well, this will probably end badly. Well, some people probably got into some things and said this will probably end badly. But, but if it does, then this, you know, has the possibility to be a major pain in the neck at the very least. And so I say, much like I said last week about The Office, this is even like a twofold for the school.
It's a narrative that's so prevalent in our culture right now, is this idea that these power dynamics are implicit in a lot of relationships, you know, with and if you're a teacher at this school and you're talking about a student at this school, then that's inherently an unequal power dynamic. I would steer clear of this, too.
Yeah. And look, I know it is many happy relationships that have started. And again, I'm assuming that everybody here is adults, the age of consent, that's not a thing in this situation. But, you know, if it's the kind of thing where people got the wrong idea, or if it, you know, ends badly, it's just a very, there's so many people in the world. There's someone that you know, especially like, it's not like, oh, I'm in love with this person. This could be the one. You're already in a relationship. What do you need this aggravation for?
Yeah, this is lust talking. Lust is a powerful thing, but I think you don't want to be that creepy teacher, you know? You don't want to be that creepy person. What if, you know, I really foresee this just ending badly. I think it's a no-go for me, too.
Okay.
That's a no. You're not going through to Vegas. That's a no from all three of us.
All three of us. Sorry about that.
Did you guys know? I feel like I knew a lot of people in college who dated their professors or who dated their teaching assistants, and it never ended well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And look, I know there's some people that probably like, oh, that's how we met, and that's more power to you. But, you know, I think that it's a, you know, often problematic. Okay. So we have some follow-ups, and that's the great thing about this show where, you know, we give out some advice to people, and then sometimes we hear back from people, or we get emails back about how we handled questions from last week's episode. So I have a couple of follow-ups from last week's episode. Let me bring in, this is a voicemail from one of our listeners who wants to just go a little bit more in depth in terms of some of the dating apps that we were talking about last week.
Hi, Stephen and Rob. Congratulations on the first Love Know-It-Alls podcast. It was surprisingly good. I thought Stephen's advice to go out and intentionally get rejected was incredible. But what I'm calling about is I wanted to make a distinction for you guys that you were sort of getting at in the last podcast. So what I do is I research tech, and one of the things I've looked at a little bit is mobile dating platforms and their user experience. And when you guys were talking about Tinder and Bumble versus OkCupid, I don't know if you actually mentioned Bumble, but you got to talk Bumble. Tinder and Bumble are user-led matching systems. So the users match with each other, whereas OkCupid has system-based matching where it will match for you based on more complicated questionnaires and things like that. I actually agree with Steven that with a system-based matching system like OkCupid, you're more likely to actually have success. But I just wanted to make that distinction between user-based matching and system-based matching, because I do think that's a really important point when talking about these platforms.
Michelle, do you have a preference over something that is user-based matching versus system-based matching?
I honestly have never given it much thought. I struggle with online dating. I'm really bad at the follow through. So I think that's actually really great insight. And I would love to get more on the bandwagon game. Hearing you guys talk about it last week, I'm like, you know, I really should. It's something that I want in my life. I would love to have love. So, you know, it's not just going to fall in my lap. I wish it was that easy. But I'm willing to try pretty much anything. You know, I'm okay with, I'll try Bumble. I'll probably get on OkCupid. I think my mom would be super happy if I did that.
Yeah.
And I think I like the sound of it choosing for me, because yes, I obviously don't know what's right for myself.
Because it takes the blame and the responsibility off of you. If you're on Tinder or Bumble, it's like, oh, what's wrong with me? Why is nobody taking me? Why can't I find anybody? Whereas OkCupid or a match, that if you get matched up with the wrong person, it's like, this system is terrible. The system sucks.
There's nothing wrong with me.
They keep sending me these losers.
You know what? I know that there's something wrong with me, so I've already accepted that.
Okay. A couple of other follow-ups from last week's show. We talked a little bit about perfect matches. This is from one of our listeners from last week. Guys, I just finished the podcast from last week, and it seems like the people dating now are suffering from having too many options and are waiting for their perfect match to fall head over heels in love. I don't know if I'm weird or just married too long, but I think there's no perfect person for anyone. You pick someone you marry who not only has things that you love about them, but also faults that you can deal with. I think it's almost romantic to know someone chooses to stay with me and I choose to stay with them, and the good and hard times versus that we're meant to be. What are your thoughts? Do you believe in destiny, choosing someone to settle down with completely? Or do you think that some of the listeners could benefit from putting their energy into one or two potential relationships instead of leaving the net out there? So, Steven, this is a loaded question, but do you believe that in a one perfect person, or that you pick somebody and then you like them enough to overlook the things that are not perfect?
Well, so I do think I'm an outlier because I found the perfect person for me.
Obviously. Right.
But in general, I think I semi-agree. How about that? I half agree. I know that's like it's an annoying hedge, but I do agree with the general idea that to some degree, you just have to choose. You have to accept that any relationship is going to have its challenges. There's no one person who is 100% match for you, and you're just going to have to accept that. There's something romantic about saying, I'm just going to choose to be with you. That very act of choosing is what's going to be the basis for our relationship. And in fact, I went out recently with a group of my guy friends, many of whom are married and who have children. And this particular group of guy friends, we often devolve into very emotionally serious conversations about the paths our lives have taken. And one of
us fun.
So one of the single guys said to all the married guys, what do you think is the single thing that has most led to the success of your relationship? And every single one of them said it was just making that choice and committing to it. It was not, this person was so right for me in so many ways. I mean, Rob, you'll obviously be able to speak to this better. You've had a long standing and successful relationship. But I do want to say, and I'm sorry this is going on so long, I do want to say that, I also think that very philosophy can inhibit people, who are in these negative relationships, like the relationship we started this show with, where someone was in this abusive relationship where someone was lying to her and belittling her. And if you're ever in a relationship with someone who's lying to you and belittling you, like, it's not just a question of accepting that person for who they are or accepting that situation for what it is. Like, there's a big difference between loving someone for their flaws and being in a relationship that's not bringing out your best self.
Michelle, where do you come down on this?
I mean, I'm such a romantic in the sense that, like, I want to really find my person who, like, you know, it's better. Everything's better with them than not with them.
Sure.
And I don't think that there is just one of those in the world. I think that everybody has flaws and whatnot. But I think that there are certain people that come into your life that just, you know, wow you, and you choose to be with them. And if you're lucky, they choose to be with you. And I think I want that fairy tale. So like, I believe in it. I believe in that destiny thing, but I don't know. Everybody has flaws.
But I don't think
know?
That destiny is that there could be more than one person who would meet those criteria. Like, I feel like that it's,
but
you know,
there's millions of people in this world. There's no, I
billions.
Doubt that billions, but I doubt that, you know, there's just one person who fits for you. But I think that there's, you sift out people and you find the perfect person that you've met. I don't know. I can't speak to it too much because I've never had that. So
I think, you know, with all of these different movies and things that we've been exposed to our entire life, where you feel like that there, you know, is this idea of there is that one person that's the only person that I could ever be happy with, and I need to keep looking until I find that person, as opposed to realizing what's in front of you and you can make it work with a person who is, you know, 99% of what you want instead of 100% of that perfect person who has nothing that gets on your nerves.
Maybe I need this insight and go into more of my, you know, dates with the thought that, you know, not everything's going to be perfect. And I don't have to be completely, you know, taken in 100% and not, you know, and maybe I'll have more success.
maybe not every maybe. Little thing has to be a drawer breaker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I also had the other, I know I just gave this, like, you know, this ode to choosing, arbitrarily choosing, but I also, like, you know, in just hearing you guys talk about it, you know, the biggest change in my dating life came when I said, I'm not going to date someone anymore who I don't think I could spend the rest of my life with. And then I met Julia, you know, and it was only because of me making, you know, I felt like I was dating people and being like, well, this person's interesting. Like, who knows where this would go? You know, like, mm-hmm. I feel like I could be engaged with, you know, not be engaged to, but like engage with and connect with like a lot of people from, you know, a lot of different perspectives. And when I sort of said to myself, like, this is putting me in relationships that I don't want to end up in, I need to just date people who I actually could marry, like, that's when I found my perfect match.
I think that we're all pretty much saying the same thing. I just want to make the distinction of that the idea of, no, that there is that one magical person and I need to look my entire life until I find that one person that has no flaws, who that's my soulmate. And when I meet them, we'll both know. And like, I think that that's a sort of a dangerous way to go through dating and relationships.
What about your perspective, Rob? I mean, you obviously have been in a long-term successful relationship. So, I mean, you're definitely of the, you know, when you were, you know, I don't know what I'm asking.
Yeah. So just to set that straight. So I am Nicole's perfect person. But I think I could make it work with anybody, Stephen.
You're funny. Okay.
And then the last thing, this is from a listener who was very taken with what Sarah from Philadelphia had to say on the last podcast. And he writes, last time on the podcast, we heard from Sarah from Philly. She's sick of all the dating apps, but do you think she'd be up for a blind date set up through RHAP? I'm a single 25-year-old male who'd be interested in grabbing a drink with Sarah. Let's make it happen. R from Philadelphia. So that's out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
All in your court, Sarah.
Yes. Okay. So if Sarah wants to reach out and we can put them in contact with one another, and that's up to Sarah. I can say that this person has a avatar on their Gmail. He had no face tattoos or anything like that. Now, maybe that's what Sarah likes, but he seemed like he would be. There was no red flags that I saw from, again, maybe it's not his real picture. Who knows? But I would endorse this idea until, you know, something, this doesn't go right. And we're not like on the hook for if anything terrible happens. Right, Stephen?
I know you were saying, like, one of the great things about
What's
this show
liability
is
on this.
Yeah, yeah. We need a disclaimer at the start of every episode, you know.
Like if she murders him, like, are we responsible for that?
God, I'm laughing.
What about like in 10 years? What if they get together, they happily married, but then like one day, like she can't take it anymore?
Yeah.
Are we responsible then?
There's probably like a podcast statute of limitations.
Okay.
Oh my God.
All right. Michelle, are you concerned that we might start fielding requests that I would like to go on a blind date with Michelle after this episode?
Oh my God, please. Somebody hook me up with someone.
No, you don't take it back. Take it back.
I'm
Michelle.
Not taking it back because I'm hoping, you know what? I am open to anything and I'm hoping that somebody is listening and they're like, you know what? I know this person who I think would be a great fit for Michelle, and they're in Boston and everything is convenient and we go out, and I would totally do it.
Okay.
So set me up.
All right.
Yep.
And so do you have any criteria? Do you want to narrow the pool of emails that we're going to get on this?
I like funny.
Funny.
And that's really it.
I think everybody thinks they're funny.
Not everybody thinks that they're funny. And if they do, then they really need to sit down with themselves and talk.
Okay. Is there an age bracket? This is like our own OKCupid.
Yeah, I'm 27. So
what's the youngest you would date?
Oh, tough. 26, probably.
26. Okay. Okay.
Wait, is that, should I have gone younger? I'm sorry.
No, it's up to you. It's your, okay. You're going on the date. And then what's the oldest you would date?
35.
Okay. And then anything else of like any interest that's a must have for you?
No, but I like somebody who has hobbies, motivation. You know, I'm such a doer and I like somebody else who also is that way.
Okay.
I don't care what your hobby is, but like be passionate about something. Okay. You know, I don't care what the passion is for, but have something in your life.
What's a good first date for you, Michelle?
Wings and beer, like a football game. I always like that because it's really casual and like there's other things happening, but you can still talk. Yeah, but you probably don't last the whole football game, you know, or right? I don't know.
If you care about the game.
I don't go on too many dates. I don't go on too many dates, but I do think that dates should involve some type of alcohol. Mm-hmm. Like some liquid courage, maybe a bit. Yeah. But something casual.
What about coffee? Would that be a turnoff for you if somebody wanted a coffee date?
Yeah.
Okay. They poke a hole in Steven's master first date.
No. It's different in college. And also it was different because you're rewriting history because that
Michelle,
girl didn't
what if a guy so asked him. You, do you floss before or after you brush your teeth? What would your reaction be?
I was listening to you guys, you know, talk about this last time. I think before.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the proponent of the before?
Steven was before. I was after.
But I've really gotten flamed on social media.
Yeah.
But both had good reasonings for why they did it.
Well, would that be too weird if a stranger just started asking you about flossing, or you'd be have the conversation?
I would have the conversation.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Especially after the wings.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Is that not a good dating food? Maybe wings aren't the best dating foods.
Maybe there's boneless wings.
Yeah. Okay, I'll make note of that for tonight.
Maybe that's why you've struggled, that you go for, you get the hot sauce all over your face.
No, that's totally sexy. What are you talking about?
All right. Well, Michelle, this was so much fun to go through this. Thank you for spending an afternoon with us.
Guys, thank you for having me. Honestly, I felt like I was just hanging out with you guys. This was really a blast. And I can't wait to see where this goes because I really did love the first one. Hopefully people like this one as well.
Yes.
And I look to see who you have on next.
Yeah. Michelle, did you hear anything on social media when there were two women on The Amazing Race that they were... The one was a Michelle and the other one, there was a Fitzgerald, and they were Team Mish Fitz on The Amazing Race this season.
Yeah, somebody tagged me in that on Twitter that was happening. Like, Bro, no. You can't be stealing my name. Like,
no, you can't.
What are
have
you
it.
Trying to do? There's only one. There's only one of me. No, no, no. That's fine. If they
it
need
sounds
to,
like a bunch of malarkey to me.
Yeah.
Oh my god, the haunting of malarkey, honestly. I don't even know why I said that. It's such a strange.
We love it. We love it. All right. So follow Michelle on where are you more active on Twitter or Instagram?
I think I do both. Okay. I do both. You don't have to follow me. It's your choice.
So, yeah, nobody's saying you have to.
You just said follow. It was an imperative.
Yeah. Well, if you want to write in that, do you want somebody to be following you on social media, or is that too, are they crossing a boundary before they write in for the blind date with you? Do you want them to not be following you?
Sure. Follow me.
Okay. All right. So at Mish Fitz on Twitter. What are you on Instagram?
MICH_Fitz, FITZ.
Okay. There you go. All right. And Steven, I know you were blown away by the response to the first Love Know-It-Alls.
I was. I think that's actually a more positive response than I've ever received for anything I've ever done. I mean, I really, you know, I expected ambivalence, but it was basically universally really nice things were written about it. And maybe it's because we specifically asked, or I specifically asked, for just really nice things. And so in general, I want that to be my blanket policy, is please always and only tweet really nice things to me.
Well, we also did a really good job of just lowering the bar as low as we possibly could. And so I think that we really either warded people off or made them feel like that this was going to be so bad. And then when it wasn't that bad, then they were like, oh, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, so what's it, Michelle? What's the hashtag for this week?
Oh my God. I don't know.
It's got to be Drawbreaker.
Drawbreaker.
Yeah. So that's, I think, what we should go with, unless Michelle has something better. Anything else?
I'm not committed to anything else. That's okay. Good for
me. Fear of commitment from Michelle on the hashtag, just like Steven has. Okay. So we will be back. We'll be here. We're going to keep going along as this Survivor off season goes. And who knows what will happen from there. KIA@robisawebsite.com if you want to email us for the next show, or robhasawebsite.com/voicemail if you want to send us in a call, or you could call in 323-282-RHAP. And then to play us out, I mentioned that there were two songs that came in as potential theme songs for this show. I played you the one that was less NSFW. Here's the one which is more NSFW. It's from Will from America. Here is another nominee for the theme song to the Love KIA. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Oh.
I like this.
The hottest hunks are about to go to town, like they've done the deed a million times. Well, actually, they never really get laid at all. They're gonna blow you up.
Oh, Jesus.
Away. Steven and Rob without a doubt do stuff.
Wow. I feel like we need both of those. I feel like that should always be our intro and that should always be our outro.
That's right. Some sex music right there. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope someone, that my dream in life would be if someone got busy to our outro music.
Take it back.
Oh my God.